Hello, and welcome to the Adult Gamer Community Podcast. I'm Mellified, and I'm joined in hosting duties today by the esteemed Fenrir765 and the I'm always excited about 4K, Mr. Hoptimus. Our community guest host tonight is Mick Switch. Fenrir, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm not always excited about 4K because I don't know what that looks like.
Oh, well, somebody has to have the.
It's like 2K 1080p. Times 2.
Oh, that's what that is. Okay. But, anyways, yeah, I'm doing well. How's things hanging for you, Mel?
Doing all right. It's been a very busy week for me. The last couple weeks, actually, at work. So, I haven't had as much gaming time as I'd like, but I got some in. We definitely have something to talk about for the playlist. Optimus, how about you, man? How's your last couple weeks been?
Well, being that I play all my games in 4K HDR, it's fucking awesome. That's all everybody needs to know, right? Because if you got 4K HDR, you're in the shit. No.
Wow. Man, that looks beautiful.
I know. I'm over. But honestly, it's like crazy good looking stuff, man. Yeah, things are good. Man, we'll get to it in a minute, but that new update for Blackout, I already loved that game, but that new update has made it like even more crack addicted than normal. But yeah, I'm good. And our special guest here, Mick Switch, how you been rolling?
I'm doing pretty well, guys. I wasn't really sure how I was going to follow that up, you know, coming out the gate with that 4K bat swinging, but, you know, I'm definitely happy to be here. You know,
wow.
Just an honor to be here, being part of the family. You know, I know that I'm the rookie of the show, but you know, I'm a little bit wet behind the ears, but still happy to be here.
Well, we're glad you're here, man. So, I'm just gonna get this show rolling, and I'm gonna start off with some of the biggest news that got dropped with Microsoft. They talked about, well, rumors are talking about how they may not only go big at E3 this year, but they're also going to talk about their new consoles that they're going to release hopefully in 2020. And we talked a little bit previously about the Scarlet series of consoles, the Lockhart and the Anaconda, and how one's more powerful than the other. But Microsoft's supposedly going to drop this huge bomb, as well as a bigger reveal for Halo Infinite and all sorts of other things, and make this a launch title for those consoles. So it's definitely going to be an interesting E3 this year, with Sony definitely skipping it and Microsoft trying to fill that huge, wide gaping hole that Sony is just leaving for them to put their meat in it, I guess. I don't know. So,
do you mean stick their dick in the mashed potatoes?
Yes, they're sticking their dick in the mashed potatoes.
But, well, Microsoft's dick has gotten a lot bigger in the last year or so, it seems to me. They have a lot more to stick in the mashed potatoes with all the game studios they've been buying and all the new hardware they've got coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Microsoft has definitely been swiping left on a lot of studios lately.
Yeah, I mean, and not only are they talking about releasing new consoles, there's a new rumor that came out today that the Xbox One S Digital Edition may be dropping sometime here in the spring, supposedly May, before we get to E3. And that kind of has me a little bit excited, because maybe we'll get some consoles that won't have a disc drive that will hopefully shave off a few dollars here and there.
And I think that going forward they should offer, probably, I'm going to guess they're going to have an external 4K UHD drive for those people that still like discs, probably as option, because why not? But yeah, I mean, I don't buy any disc games. Hell, I don't even really use the disc drive on my Xbox One X. I mostly watch my movies through my standalone player. Unless they're digital, then I watch them on the...
See, I'm the opposite. All my movies get played through my Xbox, so that will be the only downside, but... I mean, with everything coming with digital editions anyways, I could pass on the disc drive for a little bit until something comes around.
Well, and more people are buying digital movies. I think the compression is starting to catch up. It's not quite as good, definitely not on the 4K UHD. There's still a lot of artifacting if you have a big screen to use. But yeah, that's it. That's some good news, and I think that Microsoft's really trying to hold on or, take a lead this next generation or maybe just keep growing. And that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm confused, guys. When you're saying disk drive, what do you're talking about the slot on the machine where my cheese goes? I thought that was the cheese slice normally. You can put disks in that?
Right, that's what I
The
mean. I
Xbox
don't.
has amazing capabilities I didn't even know about. That's fantastic.
I just want to know what happens to your cheese.
It's really nice that Mel has a $400 cheese receptacle. You
Jeez.
know, I actually, but going kind of building on that question, I do want to ask you guys, what do you think would be a fair price for, a console that's strictly like, 1S, for,
What
with
is
lacking a disc on there, what do you think would be a fair price or something like that?
what's the
It has to be
standard what's the
100.
standard MSRP of, I mean, I've seen the 1S is as low as 199 on sale, right?
I think that's what it is now, pretty much.
So if
So
they take the
if,
disk drive out, they're probably going to go for under 150.
150 to
yeah.
100 is where I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah,
You think, I
well, I
know.
don't know if they'll go as low as 100, but 150,
My
I bet you
bet,
they will.
I'm willing to bet that if they do roll out a 199 price point, it's going to come with a year of Game Pass.
Boom. Yeah, that
Yeah.
would be a killer deal.
Because
I
I
mean,
think
but
that would be
that's kind of the
perfect
whole
entry
market
point.
of the thing.
Exactly.
Not only you get a digital console, but now you have access to 100 plus games with
So,
that console.
speaking of which, if we just roll this right on to McSwitch here, I see you're going to bring us some news about some more Microsoft goodness with Game Pass.
Oh boy. Okay, so, well, I mean, it's kind of, I'm hesitant to call it news because, of course, nothing has been substantiated. It's more like a rumor that's been confirmed to be a rumor, if that's, it's like we're kind of getting to the inception levels of rumors with how this is going. But basically, Microsoft has reportedly, allegedly, supposedly going to be bringing the Game Pass to the Nintendo Switch, which is massive news. I don't know. I mean, I really think that if this is true, I mean, we could see a serious console renaissance coming within the next year to 2 years. That news alone could be the most interesting business move and also massive improvement for gamers that we've had since, I mean, I can't think of a single time when, two companies of this magnitude have merged together to create a product for gamers and things like that. I would argue that maybe Sega, but Sega just gives their IPs to Nintendo because they don't have a console of their own. So, I mean, I'm hesitant to say that it's news personally because I know this sounds crazy, but I don't feel like that rumor has legs to stand on. And the reason I say that is because despite the fact that I absolutely adore the idea, I'm going to tell you right now, if this comes to fruition, I'm buying a Switch the first day I find out this is true. But if it's the reason why I don't think it's true is because of the red tape and the legality behind it. Can you imagine the nightmare in terms of just speaking entirely through business of trying to get like shifting the license from the Microsoft ecosystem over to the Nintendo Switch?
I think you're maybe thinking of this in a more elaborate way than I read it,
Right.
which may simplify things a little bit. So if you imagine PlayStation 4 has the ability to play games on the Vita, on the PlayStation TV, and on your PC and Mac. And the way that it does that is the game is executing on the PlayStation, and it is doing fast H.264 encoding on a 720p version of that video and shipping it over the network. And you can do that even out of home streaming, that's called, where you're like in a hotel somewhere and you're playing on your PS4 sitting in your bedroom. And that's what I read this as, is
Right.
Microsoft has Xboxes in the cloud, which is the xCloud part, but you're getting a Game Pass library that can run on that cloud-based hardware, and all you're streaming to the Switch is the video output from that gaming session.
Yeah,
I see
they're
what you're
just
saying. So,
taking
oh, I'm
the, they're
sorry,
just
go ahead.
taking your ability to play Xbox games from the cloud onto the Switch through the streaming process, rather than the Switch or Nintendo actually building a license.
Well, yeah,
onto their game, onto their console.
All the Switch is doing is video decoding, which even the Switch is capable of doing, despite it being super underpowered. Not that I'm bitter. Anyway, so, and the reason I think this makes sense is because they've already negotiated new agreements to get games on Game Pass, and in the fine print of that contract, I'm fairly certain it gives Microsoft the right to stream those games while they're on Game Pass. To whatever platform
they decide. That makes sense. It's mostly I'm just worried about, you know, the layers behind the scenes that, you know, regular consumers don't really see. You know, the amount of paperwork that gets pushed by, but, like, who gets what? Well, let me ask you this. On that, you know, let's just say, like, you know, that the Game Pass thing does come to, you know, actually happen. Do you think that the entire catalog for the Game Pass would come over, or do you think it would be more of a curated, like, list of games that would come to Switch? I mean, obviously, like, Ori and the Blind Forest and whatnot.
I think it would be everything in Game Pass, because I think that's what Microsoft's been doing in the background with the licensing that they're doing on, you know, Game Pass games when they sign with a publisher. That said, I almost wonder if the Nintendo is just getting a Game Pass xCloud app, and I could get that same app on my phone, I can get it on my tablet, I can get it on my PlayStation, well, maybe not the PlayStation, I can get it on my PC through the Xbox app or on my Mac, or, you know, I think at that point Microsoft is all in on a subscription service, and they are just trying to get it on as many platforms as possible, a la Netflix.
The thing I think that is the most underrated component of this is if Game Pass can be streamed through a Switch, then the people who have a Switch may buy into that Game Pass system a lot more, which would allow people like Studknuckle or whoever that play primarily on Switch go, oh, hey, it's Halo night. Let me go ahead and load up Halo 5 and play it on my Switch and join the crew for a few matches. And it just allows Microsoft's products to get out there and be more available for everybody and to grow their brand, really. And then people eventually can go, man, I've played a lot of Game Pass games. Why don't I go get an Xbox and play it in its true fidelity form? So
I think the interesting thing about this Switch, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts, is pricing.
That was actually going to be my counter question to that, too. Because, I mean, I know that I don't believe that Nintendo would actually require you to have their own internet, I mean, excuse me, their own version of, you know, that I think it's like, what, $25, $35 a year, I think it is?
Yeah, the Nintendo Online would probably be, I think that really, even today, only applies to Nintendo games, basically.
Right. Well, Microsoft's dropped Live for Netflix. Like, you don't need Netflix, or you don't need Live to run Netflix or Hulu or any of that stuff anymore, which used to be the case.
I really wonder, I mean, like, it kind of begs the question, will Microsoft, I mean, you know, if this happens, will Microsoft make people pay for both Xbox Live and Game Pass to acquire the service?
Well, they don't make people pay for Live on PC, and you can...
That's a good point.
So...
I think there's, you're forgetting the xCloud part of that, right? There is a very significant cost to Microsoft running your games in a data center on some, you know, data center grade hardware, and just the electricity for that adds up. So I mean Game Pass is $20 a month, right? Or 10.
$10.
So I would think xCloud
or
is
$75 a year if you got
the
deal.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, I think xCloud has got to be at least another 10, and maybe what you do, because there's already brand confusion between Live and Game Pass, is say, okay, it's $25 a month for Game Pass xCloud Gold, all as one bundle.
Right.
And that lets you play, you know, the 100 and plus Game Pass games on any device that you own.
Right. I'm going to tell you guys up front here right now, I don't care if it was like $50 a month, personally, I'd probably end up paying for it. The idea that I could take a Switch and get achievements and actually carry my Xbox Live friends list and play games through Game Pass to the Switch, I mean, that's just, I mean, talk about the ultimate dream right there.
Well, Hop, now keep in mind, Hop, the Switch in portable mode is 720p. Does that ruin the 4K HDR dream?
You know, I mean, honestly, I'm not really into the Switch, guys. I'm sorry.
Okay,
but think of it as an Xbox.
It doesn't do anything for me. It doesn't do anything.
So you mean to tell me you're not going to take Halo to the bathroom?
No, definitely not.
I love Nintendo,
I would rather. This is cool. I think this is awesome. I think going forward, it's going to be great. Now, on the flip coin, if I could get Switch games and play them on my Xbox, like if I could play Breath of the Wild on my 55 HDR TV, yeah, I'd be down with that idea. But I know that's probably never going to happen. Stud Knuckles probably laughing his butt off right now, going, "Hi, you crazy mofo." So I'm not even going to get my hopes up. But I do think that's cool. I'm just not really into the Switch. It doesn't do anything for me. But I think that's awesome for people that are excited about it. And if it works the way that, like, Mel and I kind of thought about that, like the Vita, where it's actually on your Xbox, or maybe it's running on a cloud server and you're just streaming it to the Switch. I don't know. We'll find out more later.
I just think it sounds cool. It's a big way for Microsoft to get their foot into other markets that
they want to branch out into selling this as a service, not just a platform. It's a service, and it can be a service anywhere.
How many times has Phil talked about it being the Netflix of video games?
Right.
So it's an extremely smart move.
Although the minute they get successful, like Netflix, everybody else is going to do the same thing, and we're all going to be digitally divided, just like all the damn streaming services you need to watch all your shows now.
But a la carte isn't always terrible, in a sense. I mean,
no, but it starts to get expensive.
It's true.
Well, actually, I want to interject because honestly, I feel like Hop raises a pretty good point. With the Switch is 720p, would that mean that games that are placed on Game Pass, do you think that they would be, what's the word I'm looking for? Maybe held back from achieving like 1080p fidelity because of the Nintendo Switch?
Nah, they would just super sample it, I'm sure.
And you're not going to play it for the fidelity or the graphics at that point. You're playing for the game piece of it, I think. Right. So, I mean, I think there's still a lot of unknowns with this. I think there's a lot of things that we are just going to have to hope and dream for. But I do know that at the end of this month, some big news may be dropping. Hop, what do you got to tell me about?
Oh, my God. This, if it's true, like you and I talked about, is something that I know that we've all been waiting for. I got a couple of good friends out there, a couple other tag members that this is all we've talked about for, like, what, 8 years? When did the last one come out? Wow. Huge news. Reveal of a most anticipated co-op loot shooter, Borderlands 3. Supposedly dropping a trailer, at least, at PAX East 2019. That could be amazing. I really, really hope it's true, and I really, really hope it's good. That series has been lots of fun, and I really enjoy it, and I love that it doesn't take itself seriously, and I love the style. And it's really fun to play with your friends.
Is the loot and shoot genre kind of surpassed Borderlands at this point, though? I mean, we've got plenty of other examples of that, so not maybe as silly as Borderlands, admittedly.
You shut your mouth right now, Melified.
Actually, as someone who's been putting in many, many hours into Anthem with how divisive that is, I don't think it's really elevated past Borderlands. And I don't mean that as a bad thing.
I think where Borderlands really succeeds is the crazy and silly batshit world it's in. Yeah, the writing, the characters, it's very stylized. And I think that's why the series has stayed so long in people's mind. And like, I've replayed Borderlands 2 multiple times, especially with the Handsome Collection coming out. And, you know, the characters and that, the Telltale game they released a couple of years ago, that was just really cool. And it was kind of like, that was like methadone for all of us Borderlands junkies. I was like, that's a little bit of story, but shit, I need some more.
I need to play that.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. I'm not going to spoil anything. I liked it a lot. I mean, it's a Telltale game, but the story, you learn a lot about what happened after Borderlands 2.
Okay.
So.
But I mean, isn't it? Didn't they say there might be multiple titles?
Lore? What?
Oh, come on. Now, if you're talking about the first game, sure. The second game was full of lore.
Yeah. All I can remember is somebody named Moxie and her assets.
I think everybody remembers Moxie. It's hard not to remember.
I'm sorry. My favorite character still is Tiny Tina to this day. So.
Oh, man.
But, so do you guys think we're ever going to get border planets? Or are we going to be stuck on lands?
I mean, I don't know.
It'll be interesting because at the end of 2, they showed that map with all the galaxies and all the vaults. So I got to wonder, are we going to be going interplanetary this time? Are we going to have different worlds to travel to? Are they going to skimp it down? One of the things that... So one of the things I talked about with people that Borderlands 2, the entire game all takes place mainly on the one planet, and there's more to do on that one planet than there was in all of Destiny 2's year 1 and year 2 content. Even though you travel to multiple planets, the planet area, like Mercury was a joke. It was like 5 feet wide, 3 feet long, and there was like 5 bad guys to shoot. You know what I mean? Whereas, so... We'll see what they do there.
All I know is there could also be more than Borderlands announced with the Gearbox announcement too. So hopefully, oh god!
Oh no!
Hey, now you shut your filthy mouth, McSwitch.
Yeah. Mellified, what do you got for us? It sounds like some kind of crazy DLC is going on in the game world.
Well, I actually want to talk about this because you and I had a great conversation the other day, and I won't get ahead of myself, but for those at home, Dead or Alive 6 has released. It is actually, I think, arguably the 7th or 8th installment in the series, because Dead or Alive 5 came out on last gen, was released a mini version on Vita, and then an enhanced version on last gen, and then they did last round, Dead or Alive 5 last round, which was the current gen release, using an upscaled engine. So this is an HDR fully next gen or current gen engine for Dead or Alive. Game came out, as games do, with pre-order bonuses. There's a deluxe edition. And if you didn't pre-order, there's a character you cannot get today. If you upgrade, you need to upgrade to the deluxe edition to get another character. The game currently has this unlocking system where you need to earn costume parts in order to unlock the costumes for the different characters. But you need between 50 and 100 costume parts. And the release version doesn't give you costume parts only for the character you're playing. It gives you costume parts across the whole roster, which means it could take forever to get certain costumes. Apparently they're going to patch that. I saw an article where they were saying that that was not the way they intended it to work, and that they're going to patch it so you'll only earn costume parts for the current character you're playing, which will speed up getting costumes for your favorite characters at least. But, and I think this is where things start going off the rails. They also released a $93 season pass. Which
pass
is bad enough, perhaps, you know, just based on the price. But that's basically for 2 characters, and I think it was 63 costumes. So the Dead or Alive series is known for its fan service, shall we say. Some pretty risque costumes, especially for the female characters. One of them in Dead or Alive... Dead or Alive 5 last round was literally just a piece of ribbon, red ribbon wrapped strategically around the female characters. So, you know, what are you really paying for with that $93 season pass is sort of the first concern, I guess. The second is that Dead or Alive 5 last round had no fewer than 7 season passes ranging from $75 to $93, plus several content packs that were special that you had to buy outside of the season passes. So all told, I think at list price, it was over $1,000 of DLC for 5. So I think it seems like they're doubling down or tripling down on that and going to see how much money they can get out of people. They did announce, by the way, that this season pass runs through, I think it was June, end of June. So this is about 3 months of content for $93. So Hop, can I sign you up for 2 copies or...
Yeah, man, I'm out. No, I was interested in that game, but after you told me about that, I was like, what? No, sorry.
Well, you're my fellow fighting game aficionado, right?
So yeah.
If anybody was going to had a hope of buying this for me to play with, it was you. But can you explain, like, is it just, it's, you know, too much money? It's not enough content for $93? Like, what turns you off? Both?
Right?
All?
Yeah. Wow. It's insane. I really wanted to, I loved that series. I loved the first one was, it was okay. It was basically a clone of Virtua Fighter. It came into its own with number 2 and 3, especially on the original Xbox. And then 4 was really good. And then 5 lost me. 5 is when they started this whole costuming, microtrans shenanigans, and I was kind of like, well, I walked away. And I mean, the fact that what's his name left Team Ninja around that, or even before that too, so I'm not sure who's all developing the game. It looks pretty, but yeah, I'm not gonna buy it for those reasons. I can't.
I always felt like Dead or Alive was just a constant reminder that Sega will never give us another Virtual Fighter.
Well, we have the greatest one is backwards compatible on the Xbox One, VF5 Final Tune. And it actually, okay, here we go, guys. I'm going to say it. It looks really good in 4K HDR because it is upscanned. And they enhanced it on Xbox One X, even though it's a 360 game. It looks freaking phenomenal. Like, my buddy came over, he's like, this is a 360 game? I was like, yeah. He's like, holy crap. He was freaking out. So... Yeah, we probably won't get another. Yeah. We won't get another VF because I don't think Yu Suzuki has any interest in working on it, and the guys at AM2 have kind of moved on to different projects.
Wasn't there a few guest fighters and one of the recent Dead or Alive from Virtual Fighter?
Yeah, and DOA 5 had Akira, Sarah, Lau. There was at least 4 of them, I think. Yeah.
So I part of the reason I brought this story up is because, you know, you Top had such a clear reaction to it when we were talking about it before. And one of the things I guess I wanted to say is your reaction is exactly what I think gamers should do more often.
Oh, if, it's like, no, fuck that. For $93.
Well, yeah.
No.
If something is too expensive, what often happens is people complain. And
but
then
people buy it anyway.
They buy it anyway. And so the company says, well, they complain, but gosh, our bank account's still looking great. So why change? Why do anything different if they're still being successful and still being profitable?
There was an app that came out in the early days of iPhone, like iPhone 2 or maybe early days of iPhone 3. And it was a stupid app, but it cost $1,000 and just... people would buy it just to show that they had the money to buy it. Like it was like some kind of status quo. And I think maybe sometimes that's how gaming
is. Do
you
remember the time Steam released that diamond ring? I think it was for, I'm probably wrong about this, but TF2. And like the diamond ring was some astronomical amount and did absolutely nothing. But it was just a status quo.
Right. That's kind of how this app was on the iPhone. Yeah.
We live in a world where the Fire Festival is a thing.
Right.
That people paid tons of money to go to, and it ended up being a steaming pile of shit. So,
well, on that note, we're half an hour into the episode, and we're just getting through the news. So, I'm going to move this along. But I mean, this has been an awesome discussion. Thank you, guys. Let's go on to this month's release highlights. Fenrir, what do we got coming up? Released recently and coming up in March.
All right. So I'm gonna. power through this because I'm already one beer into this episode, so let's make this happen. Already released is Dead or Alive 6, which we just went on about for a while on PS4, Windows, and Xbox. Also, a game that I'm actually going to go check out hopefully in the next week or two is Toe Jam and Earl Back in the Groove. It's on Switch, Xbox, PS4, and Windows. And Black Desert Online just released on the Xbox. I know our Duke has been checking out this game already, so feel free to hit him up on Discord if you need to get into that as well. Game that there are a ton of people looking forward to coming out is Tom Clancy's Division 2 on March 15th, and that's PS4, Windows, Xbox. And
you mean where I lose sleep all weekend?
And there's like a ton of people who are playing it on Xbox. So if you're a PlayStation player and you're planning on playing it, please talk up so we can find those people and put them together. March 22nd, we have... Okay, I'm going to butcher this. Sekiro? Shadows Die Twice from Software. PS4, Windows, Xbox. March 26th, we finally get the conclusion of The Walking Dead, the final season, Episode 4. PS4, Xbox, and Final Fantasy VII on the Switch and Xbox. If you haven't played Final Fantasy VII yet, you should stop everything you're doing and go play it now.
Just to clarify, though, this is a release of the old PlayStation 1 game, not the Final Fantasy VII remaster that's in development and has been for quite some time.
Still, go play it if you haven't played it yet, because it's a fantastic game. And on March 29th, I don't know why you put this on the list, because Assassin's Creed 3 was awful, but it's being remastered. Switch, PS4, PC, Xbox.
The reason
and
I mentioned
it... get it free if you... there was a deal for Odyssey right now? And
yeah. If you bought the season pass for Assassin's Creed Odyssey, my game of the year last year, then you get this game for free.
Yeah, that game had so much potential, and they just... put a giant steaming pile of turd. It just pissed me off.
No, I'm right there with you, Fenn. I'm so glad you said that. But it is worth mentioning that if you buy Assassin's Creed 3 by itself, you do get Assassin's Creed Liberation. I think that I'm saying that wrong. You get that with Assassin's Creed 3.
All right. And then Yoshi's Crafted World on the Switch and Tropico 6 on Windows. So go spend your hard-earned tax dollars on some game this month, guys.
Awesome. Well, we got word of the Games with Gold and PS Plus games for March. So very quickly, Adventure Time, Pirates of the Equirindon, March 1 to 31. My kids are probably screaming because I mispronounced that. They're big Adventure Time fans. Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2 is March 16th to April 15th. We absolutely need to get this on our Monday night game roster. Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare is so much fun as a third-person shooter, multiplayer shooter, if you haven't tried it. It's a blast. Star Wars Republic Commando, March 1 to 15th. And Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, which is March 16th to 31st, and those last two are both 360 titles that are backward compatible. So pretty exciting time for Xbox.
Technically, Star Wars Republic Commando is a Xbox original.
Oh, yes. Yes, original Xbox title. Yes, thank you.
And it's a fantastic game.
And it's a phenomenal game. Yeah, it's one of my all-time favorites.
All right, and then for PlayStation, there are no more PS3 or Vita titles free each month with PS Plus. So it's only a couple of PlayStation 4 games. That apparently let them up the budget, though, because they have Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered, which was a pretty high-priced release when it came out a couple years ago, and then The Witness, which is the Jonathan... low puzzle game, which a lot of people enjoy. That was on Games with Gold on Xbox a few months ago as well. Maybe I'm thinking of it was on Game Pass, but either way. So pretty exciting releases there. We also have some good game updates. Switch, can you tell us a little about what's going on with Mutant Year Zero?
Yeah, it's actually receiving a mode called Stalker Trials, which is basically just combat challenges separated from the main story that you can complete for optional rewards. Just essentially kind of like something that can... You can go through to make the game a little bit easier. I don't know if that's possible for me, because it's probably one of the... I am absolutely terrible at that game, despite how much I love it.
Fair enough. Well, the perennial favorite of the show, Ghost Recon's Wildlands, which has been on sale for $15 a few times lately, and if you don't own it, you probably should.
Because... It looks amazing in 4K HDR. Okay, continue.
thank you, Op. Thank you for clarifying. They have added, for free in the base game, a four-player co-op horde mode. Ubisoft says Guerrilla Mode, this four-player co-op mode, expands on the game's PvE experience with a unique challenge testing players' endurance skills and tactics. The mode is available to play solo or cooperatively with up to four ghosts. Players will need to defend key locations against increasingly deadly waves of Card to Hell and Unidad members. After each completed wave, players will have the opportunity to purchase and upgrade weapons, skills, and attachments with resources gathered from dead enemies. Each choice will be impactful, meaning strategy will be essential to overcome the challenge. This update also includes some PvP balance changes and a new character class in PvP, so it's a pretty meaty update all around, but this horde mode sounds like a lot of fun. I think we'll have to be trying this out sometime soon. And then, let's see, World of Warcraft will let you play as a dinosaur druid soon. WoW is adding two new races for players who have earned enough reputation in the game to unlock these characters from the various factions. So if you're still playing WoW, you can check that out. Hoptimus, can you tell us about the new Rainbow Six Siege update?
Yes, finally. Year 4 pass owners get the first big update for the year. Operation Burnt Horizon. We get two new operators from Australian SAS. There's a new Outback map. There's tons of balance tweaks and fixes that are going to be great, including that team killing fix. Also, they've changed the... There was a lot of cheap deaths due to you couldn't tell that somebody was leaning, or they could kind of fake lean, and because of the way the game calculated the math through the gun and the graphics, they could still shoot you, and they've tweaked it so that that's no longer possible, so that's going to help balance out the game. That drops tonight, so if you're listening to the podcast, probably by the time this podcast goes live, that update should be up. I think it drops at midnight US Eastern, so 9 p.m. Pacific. Maybe we might have to wait a little bit longer. But yeah, I'm excited for that. There's a group of us that play Rainbow Six on the Xbox side. If you're looking to join up, we're pretty casual. None of us are really take the... I mean, we take the game seriously, but there's nothing we can do about not being as good as all of the super MLG people out there. McSwitch, what have we been doing all week, McSwitch? I believe me, you, and Fenrir have been completely immersed in a certain game because of a recent update.
Oh man, you've been doing Lines of Black Ops 4 lately?
Oh my.
So, going into that, Black Ops 4, Black Ops 4 actually did release a new operation called the Grand Heist update, which basically adds actually additional prestige levels of Blackout. Finally, something that I've been waiting on since I hit 80 about way too long ago. Finally got that carrot on a stick back so I can really kind of dig my nails back into that game type. Also, balance for changes for Blackout, as well as a new area on the map actually called Ghost Town, which I got to tell you guys, that is the... I love that place.
It's pretty cool.
It's actually underground as well as above ground, kind of the same vein as Nuketown Island, and I love the fact that they actually put that in there. As well as actually, they added new maps on multiplayer, which actually I got a chance to really dig into those too, and I got to tell you, the casino map is quite possibly the most gorgeous map I've ever played on Call of Duty. And then, of course, actually another one where it was the LAPD, well, LAPH as it is in the multiplayer map, kind of like an... police station that you can play against. And then also they added in one of the most requested features, which was World League play, which I got a chance to actually dive into. Not really my cup of tea, but that's because I'm not much of a sweaty tryhard as most of those people who play in that. But it's still worth checking out. I know that Black Ops has kind of gotten the squeeze because of Apex on it, but honestly, this update has been just incredible. I'm really enjoying this update, despite the business practices with the loot boxes, which they've addressed. But other than that, it's a solid update.
Is the casino map... Do you remember Rainbow Six of Vegas. New Vegas? Or Vegas?
Yes.
There was a couple of casino levels in that that were really, really good, I remember.
Right, actually, I would argue that the first Rainbow Six Vegas was pretty much entirely made up of maps of, you know, in casinos, and actually I remember that one of my favorite maps was actually the graveyard of old neon signs that you could play in Rainbow Six, and it definitely, this new map in Black Ops 4 definitely echoes that feeling. There's actually parts of the map where you can literally hear dog racing dog racing tracks being announced, as well as the sound of slot machines going off. It's really kind of neat when you're working up a 10-15 kill streak, but that's a story for another day.
All right, well, McSwitch, why don't you transition us through your playlist here? Obviously Blackout's on there, but what else have you been playing the last couple of weeks?
Absolutely. So, you know, I mean, I knew it as of right now, especially if you look in the media, it is the most divisive game that we've had in a long time, but I've been actually putting a lot of time into Anthem. I went a little bit too hard. I kind of burned myself on it, but I'm still kind of enjoying on it. Honestly, it's the kind of game that I like to play is just, you know, put on a Spotify playlist and just murder countless individuals over and over. It's a lot of fun. Other than that, you know, I've also been playing, you know, I've been kind of actually on the achievement grind. I'm at 197,000 right now, and I've only got about, you know, just a few more until I hit my personal goal of 200,000, which I'm, you know, I mean, I know that in the grand scheme of things, that's nothing compared to what most people out there, but I've been working on that a little while. So with that, I've been kind of digging
into... It's definitely more than I have.
I've been digging into games like, I picked up Resident Evil 5, you know, just for the achievements and kind of going through that. Plus also nostalgic reasons too. Not the best Resident Evil, but it's not Resident Evil 6, so... but other than that, just enjoying Tomb Raider and Kingdom Hearts, and, you know, unfortunately I'm with Fenn on the fact that I don't think I'll ever finish Red Dead, despite how much I love that game.
Which Tomb Raider are you playing?
Oh, I'm sorry, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which is, I really, really, really enjoy 1 and 2. Number 3 is solid, but I hit a brick wall in the game where I'm starting to see the complaints that other people had on it. It kind of hits, in the middle of the game, it kind of dips into more of an open world hub part, but the problem is the hub of where you are is just not, it's not an interesting locale, I would say. But otherwise, I mean, it's more Tomb Raider. At the end of the day, it really is just more Tomb Raider.
Yeah, I think my biggest complaint with Shadow of the Tomb Raider was the last third of the game is totally different than the first two thirds.
And I'm starting to see that. I can see where you're coming from on that.
Yeah, so it felt a little weird that way. I don't think we've talked about Kingdom Hearts 3 on the show at all. How are you liking that? How far into it are you?
You know, I kind of grew up with Kingdom Hearts. I was kind of the person who's been kind of sitting by and idling, waiting for it. I did not play the weird mobile games or the DS games. I didn't go down that far into the rabbit hole, but I gotta say, for someone who's actually picked up 1 and 2 and remembered that unbelievably convoluted LSD trip of a storyline, it's solid. It's a great game. It's very simple. The combat is incredibly fun, despite how it's, you know, despite its simplicity, there's always things that you find in the game to actually continue to make combat interesting, you know, with the addition of, you know, the magic system, the using Disneyland attractions as an actual, like, kind of summon. I mean, it's just really interesting that way. Storyline makes absolutely no sense, but I'm not really there for that, so. But it's a good game. I mean, it's worth the $60 worth of entry point if you're into things like Disney. If you care about Final Fantasy, I can't really recommend it because they kind of 86'd all the Final Fantasy, which is kind of sad, but still has a killer, killer intro song.
So you don't get to drive around in your convertible with your three best friends on your boy band adventure in the game? Is that what you're telling me?
No, they swapped that out for the Buzz Lightyear ride, actually.
Oh, wow.
So, but there's no Stand By Me in the background on this one.
All right, so Hoptimus, have you played any games lately?
well, besides Hot Pursuit, blackout mode with McSwitch, Fenn, and the rest of the Xbox crew. Yeah, I beat Crackdown 3. Are You Dead helped me do the very last mission, which was very awesome because that mission was crazy. I'd never seen so much crap flying at me on the screen. Actually, in co-op mode, it actually kind of slowed down because there was just so much stuff exploding on the screen. I still have to hunt down some orbs, but I'm taking a little break. I've been playing Forza Horizon 3 went on sale, which I already owned, but Anthem didn't own it, and we had always talked about doing the Hot Wheels expansion, so we've been playing that again, and it's actually a lot of fun. And there are a lot of things about Horizon 3 that I like more than Horizon 4. I still like Horizon 4, but there are some things in Horizon 3 that I wish they would have kept carried over. So that's cool. Finally making some headway into Far Cry 5 because I beat Crackdown 3 and was looking for some single player action.
That's my game of the year last year.
Yeah, well, it's my wow, look at this 4K HDR hot drop sexy goodness. And then one of our new tag members, Spartan, has been asking about people to play Battlefront 2, so I reinstalled it, and it actually plays a lot better now. It's on sale right now. If you don't own it, super cheap, so I think there'll be a few of us playing it.
Yeah, they also did a Hoth bundle with the first, the remastered Star Wars Battlefront 2, and you got some like hero skins, Hoth-themed. With it, I think that was like $40. So it wasn't super
cheap. Well, you can buy
Battlefront
2 by itself for $625 US right now.
Not bad.
Wow. There you go.
Tax return money.
That's like coffee money. Forget about tax return.
How many eggs do you think that would be in Venezuela?
What?
Sorry, the GDP in Venezuela.
Venezuela has very high inflation.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I'm going to go ahead and take over from here. I want to talk about what I've been playing. I've played Anthem as well. I enjoy the gameplay of that game, but I'm really struggling with the load screens. It really kills the mood, if you will. Every time I get to a load screen, I then kind of get bored and then want to go do something else. And what ends up happening is I go play Blackout, and I'm happy again. I think that it's time for me to start a segment called This Week on Red Dead Redemption 2, because I get about 30 minutes in, do a couple missions, and I move on to something else. And during my morning game time on the weekends, I've started to pick up Mutant Year Zero again, and that game definitely has a really cool little story to it, and I can't wait to dive even further into it. Bloodstained
apparently,
Curse.
Apparently, Mutant Year Zero is based on a comic book,
really?
FYI. So if you like the story.
All right. I'll have to, as I get through it, I'll have to go check that out too. And as Hop recommended, and that was a Games with Gold game, Bloodstained Curse of the Moon, I've been playing, and that's a lot of fun. And Crackdown 3, you know. You got to get your fix every now and then. So that's been what I've been playing. Mel?
Wow. I always have so much trouble with this segment because I can't remember what I did yesterday, let alone the last 2 weeks, half the time. But as we've been talking, I think I've more than doubled my list. So I have a decent selection here to talk about. I played through Stellaris, which is the very grand strategy PC game about taking your civilization out into the stars. It got ported to the Xbox recently. It does support keyboard and mouse, although I haven't had a chance to try it. I was just playing on the controller. And one of the big sort of things that everybody knew in the game industry was that there are certain games that just never work on the controller. And I would have said, you know, Stellaris was on that list. But the company that ported the game did a fantastic job of making it work on the controller. They really, you know, thought out the screens. They made sure that you weren't having to do crazy four-button combos to do things. Everything's kind of sensically laid out. There was one thing I couldn't figure out how to do, and I was getting mad. And I happened to look down at the bottom of the screen, and in the little helper control section, it told me the button I needed to push. I was like, oh gosh, why didn't I look there before, you know? So really, really impressed with the controls. That's definitely not a reason not to play this, even though it is a PC port. Stellaris does better than any game in recent memory of putting you in this universe and giving you interesting things to discover. This is a much older version of the game that was ported to console. They're on 2.2 or 2.3 on PC. This is 1.7, so it's about a year behind the PC version. But a lot of people like the older versions of Stellaris because they changed the way certain things worked in the later versions, and so that's been kind of controversial. At any rate, this game's so much fun. It breaks down at the late game. You can kind of get bogged down in micromanaging your empire. But there's no other game that when you start off, like, makes you more excited to, you know, live out that fantasy of running a starfaring civilization and exploring the galaxy. I lost my first game, or was going to lose. I went up against some enemies that I thought I could take, and I was wrong, and got my fleet wiped out. And as soon as I did, one of my not-so-friendly neighbors declared war because they saw weakness and went after me, and I was losing pretty hard. But at any rate, super fun game. If you like strategy games at all, it's definitely fun. It's real-time, but you can pause at any time and issue orders and things. You can kind of take it at your own pace. I also played Far Cry New Dawn some more. I kind of hit a wall with the game. I still really enjoyed it, but the rest of the game is getting to be kind of samey. I have to grind out a lot of attacking the outposts in order to get ethanol, in order to upgrade my base. I've got the level 3 top tier weapons unlocked, but I've still got basic vehicles and stuff, so... you know, I'm enjoying it. I should do some more story missions probably to kind of pull me through, but I've been a little all over the place with my gameplay, so I haven't really sat down with it too much. Dead or Alive 6. So we talked about it at the top of the show. Gameplay-wise, they've actually added a lot to the fighting engine. There's a lot of interesting moves that you can do to counter attacks, and... you know, the blocks are there, but it's more about countering the other person's moves, and that makes it a little more dynamic gameplay-wise. Certainly, there's a plenty of eye candy. There's a menu option, something about natural motion, which I'm assuming is analogous to Dead or Alive 5's jiggle level setting. Which included some pretty ridiculous values for how much jiggle was involved. I didn't mess around with that too much on 6. But playing Dead or Alive 6 reminded me that I have a long list of other fighting games that I haven't sat down with. So I went back and played some more Soul Calibur 6, played both the build your own character and go through the story of Soul Calibur, as well as the actual story. What was interesting is, in one of the early fights in the single-player story, I actually fought my character that I had created for the other mode, which I thought was kind of interesting. Yeah, I was like, wait, that's my guy. My girl, actually. So that was kind of fun. There's a lot to unlock in that game just through the single-player modes, and then you add in all the multiplayer stuff. It's a little overwhelming for sure, but super, super fun. I love the fighting engine in Soul Calibur. And 6, you know, does it all really, really well. It has some interesting modes where you basically can use up your superpower to go into a special attack and things like that, which is a lot of fun. I also, I've owned Tekken 7. I think I own it on PlayStation, maybe PlayStation, definitely PC, and then now on Xbox. I never actually played it. I figured it was about time that I actually sat down and gave Tekken 7 some love. I don't like the fighting as much as either of the other two, Dead or Alive 6 or Soul Calibur. I put enough time into it to kind of go, okay, you know, it's all right. They did just release Negan as a character. We talked about that last week on the release or the updates segment. And, you know, he's got a big bat. He's really slow and he hits really hard. So living up to expectations there, I guess. I did not get back to Mortal Kombat 10, but I think I'd probably put Soul Calibur 6 and Mortal Kombat 10 as my two fighting game favorites right now. And that's only because I've played the heck out of Injustice 2. Anyway, so Ace Combat 7, I played a couple more missions in that. I've just been kind of plodding my way through little by little. This is a game that I love to play with the HOTAS. The Thrustmaster has a cheap, like, it's been on sale for $40 or $50, joystick and throttle setup that works with Xbox. And it just makes this game so much fun to play. It feels like you're really flying. And the missions are challenging. I got kind of stuck on one, and I finally beat it. But I was ready for a break at that point. But I would, if you, we haven't had a good flight simulator in a long time on any platform, really. Nothing new, particularly, other than maybe DCS World on PC. So if you've been jonesing for kind of an arcadey fun flight simulator, this is it. Crank up the Top Gun soundtrack and have at it. And then finally, I played some of Tetris.
I'm waiting for it to go on sale.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. I think the season pass looks interesting. I'm curious to see what they kind of do with that. I wish the multiplayer supported more people. I was hoping for like a 16-player, you know, battle, but I think it's limited to 8. So, last but not least, I did play a fair bit of Tetris 99, the Battle Royale Tetris game that's exclusive to the Switch. It is Tetris. You throw your, when you clear stuff, you throw garbage lines at other players, and there's a couple different quick settings for who you want to target. If you get targeted by 3 or 4 people by choice or at random, you will get knocked out very, very quickly, is generally how I've seen it go. And watching videos on Twitter of the really good Tetris 99 players is just depressing and makes me never want to play it again, because I will never be anywhere close to as good as some of the really amazing Tetris players. So be forewarned. Don't check out Twitter unless you're ready to be a little bit sad. So that's my playlist for this week. But we do have time for some community updates. Mr. Optimus, Monday nights.
Monday night, game night. If you're on our Discord, we have a channel called Xbox Game Night, and usually we will suggest games to play with each other. Generally, it's a game on Game Pass or a game with gold or a game that's universally loved. This past Monday, or past Sunday night, I posted, hey, let's do Titanfall 2, and some people are like, yay, some people are like, I don't have it. Some people went, hey, what about Gears 4? It's on Game Pass. I said, let's do it. So we did some Gears 4 last night. It got pretty heated and good, a lot of fun. FYI, Titanfall 2 is going to be next week. It's on sale right now, $7.50 on Xbox. That's going to be a lot of fun, especially if we get a room full of tag peoples.
Cup of coffee.
What's going on Thursday nights, Finn?
You know, just the classical Halo night. Everybody comes in together to teabag each other, and we have a good time. Come join us on Thursday night, Xbox, Halo night, fun.
Wait,
times,
you
teabags.
Forgot about the singing.
Oh, yes, and you'll be a part of the Hoptimus Teabag Lullaby Club.
Lullaby, wow. Okay. I don't think I will be singing any of the songs from Halo Night to my kids to go put them to sleep. Just saying.
No, definitely not.
I think that's Child Protective Services abuse. Will be called for sure.
Yes, yes, exactly. We also have a book club. We just wrapped up our book selection from February. We're starting a new book for March, which I totally forgot to prepare for this and look up what the book was, so I apologize. But if you are interested in a book club, we have a great one. It's a lot of fun. You should come join the book club channel on Discord. We also have a huge world-class PS4 Gems of War clan in tag. And we're going to have an update from our good friend, clan leader Calvin here, and I'm going to drop it in right now.
Hello all. Here's the tag summary for week ending March 3rd, 2019. It's been another couple of exciting weeks for tag Gems of War guilds. In the last 2 weeks, we gained over 235 combined levels. We did over 35 legendary tasks, scoring a new mythic and a couple of legendary troops. Once again, we killed it, collecting over 119,000 seals, over 27,000 trophies, and over 1,400 entries into our weekly draws. We finished Stage 12 on the Tower, and Kent Nelson took number one on the Hall of Fame for week ending February 24th. And last week, we made it up to 440 on the Tower of Doom event, putting Tag in 14th place worldwide. And Tag 2, our sister guild, made it to 73rd worldwide, putting both guilds at the top 100 on the PS4 leaderboards. And we also did our trophy event for the week ending February 24th. And Lady Sith won first prize, Bob Pancho took second, and Ray's Gao took third prize. For the weekly draw, Beautiful Life won, and last week's weekly draw was won by Robbie Black, who generously donated his prize, so this week we'll be drawing for $20 Canadian. See you all in game.
All right, well, thank you, Calvin. That's always great to hear how things are going with you guys. Hey, McSwitch, have you checked out what's going on in the PC gaming channel at all?
Not myself, actually. I'm usually a console player, but I'm always interested in actually, you know, finally getting into PC gaming. I just never know where to start.
Well, it's funny. They've been doing a tabletop simulator night, so they're able to play, you know, traditional cardboard and dice-type tabletop games in Tabletop Simulator, and they do that on Steam. The night kind of varies depending on people's availability and interest, but if you're interested, go check out the PC Gaming channel on Discord and see when their next event's going to be.
Well, I imagine the first way to, you know, starting anywhere is a good game of Uno or Cards Against Humanity. You know, those games are so similar, so.
Yes, yes. Well, they've definitely, I think, been playing at least some Uno recently, so worth checking out for sure. Hey guys, I'm sad to tell you that we had a technical difficulty recording the last segment of the show. Fenrir got knocked offline, and that somehow also took Hop with him, so we didn't manage to get audio for either of them for the last part of the show. I'm actually cutting out our final segment tonight and just skipping right to the outros. Hoptimus Maximus with a 1 on Xbox, or you can find him on our Discord as Hop Solo. And I'll let the rest of the folks, rest of the intro stand. But apologies for the technical mix-up. We will see if we can do another take of that segment a little bit later. All right, well, let's call it a wrap. I will say goodnight for Fenrir. He is having some computer trouble all of a sudden, unfortunately, but he's Fenrir765, and you can find him on all the things, including our Discord. You can find the link to our Discord at our website, theadultgamer.com. That's for the Adult Gamer gaming community. I am Mellified, and you can find me on our Discord as well as on all of the consoles at Mellified.com has a list of all my gamer tags.
Yeah, guys, pretty much same story. You can find me across the board at McSwitch at pretty much anything. You know, Xbox, on Discord, your local grocery store, pretty much anywhere you need to find me. You know, I just want to thank you guys again for having me on the show. You know, really was an honor. You know, I just really enjoyed my time here. And, you know, to anyone out there, if you're ever looking to play, I'm always up for a game of Blackout or pretty much anything that isn't a sports game.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure that honor is quite the word that you meant there, but I appreciate the sentiment. Just a reminder, guys, you know, all the things that we do here are a volunteer basis. We're all members of the adult gamer community, and we do this because we love games and we enjoy playing with our friends. But guess what? Doing a podcast like this costs money. We have to pay a service to host our downloads so you can listen to us ramble away for 90 minutes. And the way that we pay for that is you, dear listener, using our Amazon affiliate links. We have a little bot in our Discord that looks for Amazon links and updates them with the affiliate links, so you can easily get to the affiliate links through Discord and use them. But if you are out shopping and you're not on Discord at the moment, you can always go to theadultgamer.com, scroll down to the bottom, and on the bottom right, there'll be a link to Amazon US or Amazon Canada, and that will give us just a little tiny percentage of what you purchase. Doesn't change your price, doesn't cost you any more money, but that little bit of money goes into the kitty and helps us pay for all the fun things that TAG does. So please take some time out. I know it's a lot to ask, but if you could use those links, it's a big help. Keeps us on the air. So on behalf of the hosts tonight, including our good friend Fenrir, thank you very much. Thanks for listening. We'll see you online. Good night.
Good night.